Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, hey, welcome back down to the Cytanium Mine. Glad that you could make it. I know it's a long trip from the surface, but, I think it's cozy down here, right? And awfully cool, especially for this time of year. Hey, I have another game that I wanted to talk to you all about, which is called Forager. Now, on the last episode, I talked to you about Ooblets, which kind of takes some cues from Stardew Valley and from, you know, Harvest Moon, a lot of those farming sims. And Forager does as well, but in a very, very different way. This is almost like a distilled version of the actual gathering mechanics that you see in other games, and it eliminates a lot of other things in the process. For instance, you do have food that you can consume, but you really only need to do that if you've lost stamina or health. You don't like get hungry. You also never have to sleep in this game. You never have to do a lot of different things. In fact, you have a mine pick that you get at the beginning, which actually helps you with farming rocks, but also everything else in the game, whether it be trees or crops or anything like that. So you have one tool that basically does all of that. And the very interesting thing about it is that your resources continuously respawn. So what happens is you start out at one little block on the map. You start in one very small space, and you learn the basic mechanics of the game, which is basically I need to go around, I need to collect resources so that I can build machinery and everything in order to make more complex machines. You know how this process works if you've played any kind of farming sim, building sims, etc. This is basically that. As you collect those resources will start to respawn. Even if you're not collecting things, more and more resources will kind of pop in. And so you're always collecting, you're always getting stuff, you're always learning new things. When you start out, this is pretty easy to wrap your head around. As time goes on, though, you realize that it can get a little bit frenetic, because the way that you progress in this game is not just by levels and by, you know, skills and stuff, which I'll get into in a minute, but as you accrue money from, you know, selling things and from making gold and smelting it down and everything, you are able to unlock more and more blocks, essentially, of this map. And as you unlock those, each one of these new sections of the map that you purchase, essentially, has quests and characters and, you know, hidden stuff in them, maybe hidden chests. And so you can expand out and start doing a lot of mining and finding new resources on all of those new squares as you encounter them. And as time goes on, you get, you know, your shovel so that you can actually dig up dirt and start planting crops. And you could plant just as much as you possibly want. Unlike a Stardew Valley or any of the other kind of games you're thinking about, really the sky is the limit in terms of where you want to build. You can build anywhere on the land that you have unlocked, and this can get quite large as you start to uncover more biomes. You start in a very basic kind of grassy area, and then as time goes on, you unlock kind of a frozen waste, and then there's a desert over here, and ooh, here's the spooky town with all the graves and the skeletons and everything. So you are constantly expanding your understanding of this world and also the different resources that might be available in different areas. So what are you going to do with all of those resources? Well, you can use them to make things like mills and smelters, etc., so that you can turn, for instance, sand into glass, or perhaps you want to turn ore into bars. These are the kinds of things that you can do, and then you can use those bars and that glass and everything to make more complex tools. For instance, one of the more useful ones that you might not know about at the beginning are bottles. You can use those bottles to capture, you know, fireflies and butterflies and bugs and stuff like that, which are actually very useful. You can also use it to harvest things like milk and water, because there are, like, random cows and chickens that are around, and you can, you know, whack them a few times if you want meat. that you can cook, but I found that that's kind of superfluous. I rarely actually needed that because you can harvest fish just as easily. You can set down your little fishing traps. There's no, again, just like Ooblets, there's no real mini game for fishing. It's literally just either I throw down fishing traps and then periodically they'll catch something and I go around and just check all the traps, or eventually you unlock a fishing rod. But again, that's just I throw my fishing rod out. Ooh, did I catch something? I don't even need to bait my hook. They tried to take all of these mechanics that you normally find in sort of the farming and life sims, and they distilled it down to, like, its rawest form, so that you get right into the action and you never stop moving. And there is something highly satisfying about all of that, although there's a give and take to this. Because on the one hand, you enjoy the actual mechanics of going around, harvesting tons of resources, never ever stopping. Your stamina goes down, okay, gotta eat something real quick, num 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 num, my stamina's back up. Oh, hey, there's some enemies, okay, I'm just gonna go and use my pick, because for the most part, your pick is your primary weapon as well, and you can upgrade this, of course, over the course of time. But, you know, you're going around and you're whacking the bad guys with your pick as well. Get the resources from them, I get more experience, I level up, I get better equipment skills and stuff as time goes on, and we cut out all the middlemen. Maybe I don't want to think too much about all of the people that are in town and all of their problems. Well, not an issue here. There's a few scant characters that you find as you unlock certain blocks, but basically they're just there to give you some mini quests, some like gathering missions, so that you can get some special equipment. They're not really there to tell you their whole life story or for you to get personally involved in their life. In terms of like stores and selling stuff, you can actually build a market yourself, and no one's really manning the market, but you can buy some unique stuff, and you can also sell off all of the general crap that you've accrued, because it doesn't take long for you to actually fill out your inventory. And then there's also like a little special trader that comes around periodically, and you can sell stuff to him. And also, he has a tendency to have some better equipment, although that usually costs more too. You know how that works. You know, I want something super fancy, but I have to pay for it. The other side of that give and take is, of course, that if you like the deeper mechanics of, you know, feeling like you actually have a life inside of a town and all the characters that are in it and exploring, you know, the seasons and the holidays and all of that, well, that's just not in here. In order to make that distilled version of the actual crafting and gathering systems, they had to eliminate a lot of those other things that you might have enjoyed from a Harvest Moon, a Terraria, a Minecraft, a Stardew Valley, what have you. Okay, but the leveling system. I did say I was going to talk about that, so let's get into it. Basically, anything that you do in the game can be harvested for experience. But mostly it's the fighting mechanics and when you're building things where you gain experience from the outset. What that allows you to do is level up, and every time you level up, you go into this grid, which basically has four different categories. And so what do we have? We have like a gathering, we have industrial, we have economic, and then we have like a magic category. And so if you wanted to, you could start learning things like how to use scrolls and potions and build cauldrons. That's sort of the magic line. And then the gathering one is pretty much what you imagine. It helps you get more resources and get more benefits from going around and doing the basic foraging stuff. The industrial part of that grid allows you to build more complex machinery. Eventually you can get, oil rigs and factories and all of this stuff at higher levels as you kind of flush out that tree. And then the other one, the last one, the economic one, is mostly how you can gain gold, how you build your markets, eventually your vaults, which you're going to find incredibly useful because, like I said, your inventory fills out incredibly fast. So vaults allow you to store a select number of items in it, and then you can upgrade those so that it holds more items as well. And this is going to be incredibly important because there's only so many kind of upgrades you can do for your backpack, and there are just so many more types of resources than the spaces that you have on you. So the first time you go to put a skill point into one of these lines, you're going to see that we start at the center of this grid, and the little corner skill, the very basic corner skill for each one, is available for you to unlock. When you unlock that, the two skills that are adjacent to it will open up. If you pick one of those, the three adjacent skills, yes, I said three adjacent skills, to that will unlock. And this is actually interesting because what it means is that as you're going down lines, at least along the vertical and horizontal axes, you're unlocking the potential to get some higher level skills in another category, even if you have not invested anything in it. And I think that this is very interesting because it means that it could encourage players that have not invested much in one of these skill lines to potentially invest a little bit of their points in it as they can see some of the later ones unlocking. Obviously, you can't get to the ones in the far corner, which are obviously some of the best skills, unless you start really investing specifically in that line. But, for instance, I didn't really do much with the magic tree, but I did find as I started to go down the gathering tree on the side that lines up next to it, that there were some skills that I wanted to try out and that were beneficial to me, even though I wasn't really using scrolls and potions. But it was mainly so that I could get a cauldron. The only reason I really wanted a cauldron was so that I could make bombs. And the only reason I really wanted to start making bombs and tried to make as many as I could was because it makes harvesting resources way easier. Especially once I got a mine. Hey, it's a mine reference, and we're in Cytanium Mine. Anyway, you can make a mine, and then all of a sudden, all of these mining resources, some that are very hard to, you know, use a pickaxe on, it will take you forever, spawn around it and will continually respawn. And so you could pick to your heart's content, even if you have an upgraded one, even if you spend some points into trying to increase the effectiveness of it, it's still going to take you a long time to get through, like, the gemstones and stuff like that. But if you have a bomb, throw Mr. Bomb down, and it's going to do a massive amount of damage to a wide area, and will probably take care of many of those resources immediately. The problem, of course, is that anything that you don't want to blow up, including yourself, can get caught up in the blast radius, so you do have to be a little cautious when utilizing it. There are actual boss battles in the game. I have already done one of them against an ice wizard, I want to say, and they take place in like little dungeon areas. They have some mild puzzles that you have to solve, and then you can actually go up and defeat the big bad guy that's involved. There are some puzzle areas, there are some dungeons that kind of switch things up, but the main mechanics are basically just going around and continuously farming as much as you possibly can so that you can continually expand out this landmass and uncover new areas of the map that might have special equipment, special characters, new resources. There is a real reason, though, that I have not gone back to it for a little bit, and that's because all of a sudden they told me about an achievement I could get, and the achievement is trillionaire. And as you can imagine, that means holding 1 trillion gold at a time, and you can get this achievement. This is an achievement they imagine you can do. Now, I am going to tell you, I don't think at any point that I was playing this game, and I was probably playing this for a good 25, maybe 30 hours, because once I was in it, I was in it. While I was playing it, I don't think I ever held more than 10,000 gold at a time, and I had to use that to unlock new areas of the game. And I don't know how much time you would possibly have to put into this thing in order to get 1 trillion gold, but I started to wonder if that was just a Sisyphean task that I didn't want to engage in, so I kind of just stepped away from it at a certain point. I understand that there's probably people that are going to get super into this, and they're going to want to just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, but that felt like the kind of achievement for people who have literally stopped their normal life and are now in Forager life, which made me feel like it was a video game crack kind of thing. Similar to Stardew Valley, this game was actually built by one person who goes by Hop Frog, and you get the feeling from seeing sort of the making of little animated things that were in the game, that through Forager, Hop Frog actually found a community and kind of found purpose. And I'm really glad about that, and it can be incredibly addictive, and good for it. I will say, though, that there is just a point for me where I was thinking that maybe it's too addictive, and also that the highest tier achievements were so far out of reach that I really just didn't want to spend quite that much time playing it. I tried to calculate in my head how much it was actually going to take to do the trillionaire achievement, and I just, my brain broke, so I stopped. One thing I was going to do with Cytania Mine when I'm talking about a certain game is to kind of talk about some similar games that you might not know about that are worth possibly playing either instead or after you play this. If this is something you dig, maybe you should try out this other thing. The obvious correlations here are going to be things like Minecraft or Terraria, but honestly, I don't think anybody needs to be told what Minecraft or Terraria or any of those are. But Forager actually shares a lot of similarities to another game that I've played a while back called Slime Rancher. And if you haven't played Slime Rancher, it's a terrific game where you, capture these slimes and you can raise them and grow them in little pens. But the whole thing where you're constantly collecting resources and there's no sleep meters or hunger meters or anything like that, you're just constantly going around the landscape, opening up new paths because you've accrued some money and now you have bigger farmland and you can just constantly harvest resources and everything like that. That similarity is very much in Slime Rancher as well. The only big difference is you're in a first-person perspective when it comes to Slime Rancher. Forager is an overhead, so it very much like Legend of Zelda view. But Slime Rancher is really fun, and if you did not get a chance to play it before, Slime Rancher can be a real fun and magical time. But who knows, maybe you want something that's in full 3D, first-person perspective. Maybe you have a problem with pixel graphics. Forager is a pixel graphics sort of game. I can take it or leave it. Some games it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think it works here, but something to consider. All right, so I have taken up enough of your time talking about foraging, and although I can say that there is a lot of mining going on in that game, you may not realize it, but in the Cytania Mine, there's actually not much mining going on right now. The actual Cytanium itself is mostly made of psychic energy, and so it's a little bit hard to mine it. I need, like, a psychic pick, and, sorry, where are you going? Oh, you're leaving. Okay. Well, you have a good day now. I'll see you later? Maybe? Okay, I'll be here. Got nothing better to do.